paid much attention to the controversy surrounding the opening ceremony at the Olympics. I found the whole thing to be ridiculous, not the ceremony, the controversy. Of course, you've read that it's the statement from the artistic director that it's about depicting Dionysus and the Bacchanalia, and just underscores the need for better education around art history and Greek mythology. All great. But I also couldn't help but thinking, so what? So what if it was a depiction of the Last Supper with drag queens? Do drag queens not also belong at the table? Are they not also blessed by God? Lammy Grant, we all know, I love, is a drag queen who writes and performs music about her experience growing up as a queer kid in the fundamentalist church and her journey away from that into a more spacious faith. Her music is deeply touching to someone like me who shares much of that background. I've seen her in concert twice this summer. She's coming again to Richmond in the fall. I'm so excited. I saw her once in Richmond, and then again I saw her in Wild Goose last month. Both times I left the concert in tears. Tears of feeling seen by her lyrics, tears of feeling ministered to by her music, tears of connection to God through the whole of who she is and what her music represents. She closes her concert with two songs. The last one is Good Day, which Bones sang for us in March. It's a song written for people who choose to stay in the church and reclaim their place. The other song is called If You Ever Leave, and as the title suggests, is for those who choose to walk away from the church. It is a tender, grace-filled song that acknowledges the pain of those who realize they can no longer stay in the church or religion that raised them, for whatever reason. Even though I have stayed Christian, it resonates deeply with me. At Wild Goose, I stood right up by the speakers. She had a full band playing with her. I am surprised I am not deaf. They are right here. I danced and sang along with every one of her songs, Ask Ian, I Was a Fool, up there. When she began to sing, If You Ever Leave, the crowd sat down. I sat down as well, still speaker right here. I had my hand on my heart. I felt every word of that song deep in my being. Big tears washed over me. To say I felt blessed by her music doesn't do it justice, but since blessed is the word in our Beatitudes today, we're gonna let that word be enough. She closed the show with Good Day, as she always does, and the crowd got back up on their feet, singing and dancing. They begged her for an encore. The band had already left the stage, but she said, I don't usually do this, but okay. And then she said, this is the only song coming to me right now. And then she sang Amy Grant's El Shaddai. Do you know this song?
Yes.
It was a song that my youth choir sang every year. I listened to Amy Grant often as a teen and college student in the late 90s. Amy Grant was the first concert I ever went to. I haven't heard that song in probably 20 years. There's a lot of music that I can no longer listen to because it evokes all the shame of being a closeted queer Christian, just in that bucket of songs. When Flamey Grant began to sing it, I felt my knees, my legs give out from under me, and I sat back down on the ground and started weeping. You would probably have to have been a queer Christian kid from the late 90s to know exactly what that song meant to me. I knew every word, still. But I had forgotten the line that says, for the outcast on her knees, you are the God who really sees. Hearing Flamey Grant, a drag queen, sing that line, sing that whole song on stage in front of a huge crowd of outcasts of all kinds, I have no words. But Jesus does, because that's what all these Beatitudes are about. In this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus doesn't begin by laying out scriptural justifications for why he is the Messiah. He doesn't start with theological teachings or apologetics. He doesn't tell people what they should believe. He doesn't even tell people what they should be doing in his name, not yet. Anyway, instead, Jesus looks out at the crowd gathered around him, and he sees hurting people. He sees people who are poor, people who are grieving, people who have been denied justice, people who have been working for peace, and people who have been oppressed and cast aside. All these people with a kind of shame put upon them by their culture. He sees them, and his first words are to say, "Do not be ashamed. You are blessed." He doesn't tell them they're going to hell. He doesn't tell them they're responsible for their own suffering. He doesn't tell them they are mocking his religion, Judaism, just by their very being. No. Imagine that as he utters each line, Jesus looks directly into the eyes of all the people gathered, saying, "You are blessed." Not in spite of who they are, but just as they are. I wonder what it was like for those folks gathered around Jesus to hear perhaps the first, maybe only time in their lives that they were blessed by God. Could they take it in? Were they able to hear it? Did they believe that they were worthy of the blessing that Jesus offered? I tell you what, it took a sweaty drag queen on a stage in a field in the middle of nowhere, North Carolina, to help me. As much as we rationally know about God's favor for the poor and the oppressed, about God's blessing for outcasts, about God's radically inclusive love, it is a message that we need to hear over and over and over again. The writer of Matthew begins the story of Jesus' public ministry with this sermon, or this collection of Jesus' greatest teachings. He begins the sermon with a reminder about who belongs in the kingdom of heaven. Everyone, 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 especially the least of these. Then he closes the story of Jesus' public ministry with the parable of the sheep and goats, a reminder that what we do for the least of these, we do for God. For Matthew, these bookends to Jesus' public ministry tells us everything we need to know about Jesus. He was always about bringing in the marginalized and outcasts of society. Contrary to what is often preached, this was not revolutionary. At Wild Goose, I attended a session with Amy Jill Levine. I've quoted her here before. She is a Jewish scholar of the New Testament who writes books to help Christians better understand the Jewish context and faith in which Jesus existed. To paraphrase a popular quote right now, Jesus didn't just fall out of a coconut tree. He existed in the context of all in which he lived and what came before him. Levine's refrain is that you don't have to make Judaism look bad to make Jesus look good. In these Beatitudes, Jesus is not saying something new. Throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, we read about a God who has always favored the poor and oppressed. The Beatitudes themselves draw from Ecclesiastes, from Isaiah, from the Psalms. Jesus was simply reminding his disciples of what they already knew from their tradition. And he called them to the highest ideals of their religion, helping them to recognize God's strange ways among us, a kingdom where even the poor and the mourning and the peacemakers and the hungry and the meek and the persecuted are not only welcomed but blessed. Because in the Scriptures, we read of a God who is not offended by outcasts and drag queens, but by poverty and oppression. With that message about belonging firmly established, Jesus then taught the disciples to carry out that identity and purpose into the world and proclaim it to all. Because the world needs those who have encountered the unbounded love of God to season the world with love and illuminate it with grace. The pastor who baptized both of my children has a tradition of keeping a salt shaker and a candle on the table with the baptismal font. After sprinkling water on the baby's head, she shakes a little salt into her palm and touches some to the baby's tongue, whispering, "Remember, you are the salt of the earth." Then she lights the candle and holds it before the baby's face, whispering, and then she parades the baby up and down the aisle, again whispering, "Welcome to the family of God." Claimed as beloved, blessed children, we go out to be the salt of the earth and bring light to this hurting world. The rest of the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' teachings on how to be salt and light to this world. The word Christian has become so poisonous in its association with white Christian nationalism and a narrow, exclusivist view of God that sometimes it feels as though that word has lost all its meaning. I had originally planned to do a series this month around countering white Christian nationalism. Bethany and I are still looking at doing a study or film series this fall, but I could just never muster the will to put together a whole worship series on that. It feels so bleak. A couple of weeks ago, when I preached on the prayer that Jesus taught, which is here in the Sermon on the Mount, I said that we need to let Jesus lead us in these troubled times. So let's do that. Let's let Jesus teach us about what it means to follow him, to be a Christian, because it is contrary to everything that white Christian nationalism stands for. Amen. We'll spend the next few weeks reading through the Sermon on the Mount and discussing what it means to be salt and light. Back to El Shaddai. El Shaddai is a name for God, traditionally translated as God Almighty. Wilda Gaffney, who is a womanist biblical scholar, says that the root word shad means breast. El Shaddai is often the name for God used in blessings that invoke fertility or reference God nourishing and sustaining her people like a mother nursing her baby. So Gaffney suggests that a better translation of El Shaddai is the many-breasted one or the mighty-breasted one. So for the outcasts on their knees, El Shaddai, our mother God, the many-breasted one, blesses, nourishes and sustains them in their mourning, in their peacemaking, in their persecution, in their giving of mercy, in their pureness of heart, in their meekness, in their poverty. Then she sends us out to be salt and light for this hurting world. As Sister Ruth Fox says, these blessings are ours, not for the asking, but for the giving. May it be so.